Gospel of Acts, chapter number 8. Before we begin, I'd like to say again, we appreciate your presence this morning. We are thankful to have so many back in the Lord's house for morning service. Thankful to have so many in Sunday school this morning. Acts chapter number 8 is an interesting scripture. You don't read a lot about this particular person in the Bible, but where you do read about him, it's pretty powerful the way that God used him. And the important thing is that he allowed God to use him. And let's go ahead and read it. Acts chapter 8, we're going to begin reading in verse number 34. Acts chapter 8, verse number 34. If you're able, let's stand for the reading of God's word this morning. Acts chapter number 8, verse number 34. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of other man, some other man? And Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And they went on their way and came to a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What does hinder me to be baptized? Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for allowing us to gather at your house again this morning. God, we thank you for all that you've done for us, all that you continue to do for us. And Lord, as we look into your word this morning, help us so we could do so with open hearts. God, that we could be pricked. God, that we could be convicted. God, that we could be changed, each and every individual one of us. God, knowing that there's things in our life that we're not proud of, knowing there's things in our life that we can improve on, knowing that there's ways in our life every day that we fail you, God, help us that we could be used of you in a greater way. God, that things wouldn't hinder us, that things wouldn't get in our way, knowing that nothing is worth not living for you, that nothing is worth not believing in Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord, that we could cast all of it aside. In the name of Jesus, we ask it all. Amen. An angel brought Philip to this particular place. He said, go into the desert. So Philip went into the desert. How many of us would go into the desert for God? Not many of us, huh? Not many people would go into the desert for God. And then all of a sudden, an angel came to Philip and said, go to the desert. So Philip went to the desert. And he told him to join himself to this particular chariot. And he joined himself to this particular chariot. And inside of it was a man reading the Bible. Now, the Bible is interpreted by the Spirit to us. But anybody can pick up a Bible and read it, right? Before you were saved, you were able to pick up a Bible, and if you were able to read, you were able to read the Bible. The thing about it is that whenever it's interpreted to us by the Spirit, it means something a little different. And Philip, verse 35, opened his mouth, and he preached Jesus. Lord knows we need some of that. He preached Jesus. This man was trying to figure out, is the prophet talking about himself? Is the prophet talking about somebody else? What does this mean? And so many, especially church people, we're the worst. We want to dive into Revelation before we understand Matthew. We want to dive into the end times before we understand hell. We want to dive into prophecy before we understand baptism. You're just terrible at that, ain't we? We want to get into the big stuff, and we want to eat steak whenever we ought to still be on milk. But Philip preached Jesus, plain and simple, because that was the most important thing to this man. That was the one thing that this man needs. And understand that we are all in different seasons of our life right now. We are all in different places. Nobody in here is in the same place as I am. And I'm not in the same place as anybody else. Some of you still in high school. In a couple of years, that will change. Some of you got out of high school, and you've gone back to high school as a teacher. Some of you got out and said, I ain't never going back. And you're working in a different job here, there, and yonder. Everybody's in a different place. You have kids, or you have grandkids, or you have both, or you have all three, and you're raising these, or you're raising that. Everybody's in a different place. But understand that the God that we serve sees us and recognizes us and helps us in every place that we find ourselves in. I want to make that absolutely clear before we move forward. No matter where we are at, God is there. And if you missed the Sunday a couple of weeks ago where we had little Jesuses all over the church, grab one of the Jesuses and ask the kids what they mean. Jesus is with us everywhere. Jesus is with us all the time. And God is with us in every season of our life. And he provides help, strength, and guidance in every season of our life. But so many times we want to focus on that God. We want to focus on the God that will help us and will strengthen us and comfort us. But we don't ever want to hear our shortcomings and our failures. We don't want to hear that. Because don't you start telling me I'm wrong. Don't you do it. I don't like to hear that. I don't like to hear it none at all. But I'm awful thankful for Miss Judith who told me that I was wrong the other Sunday. Awful thankful. I think Miss Jan or Miss Tommy, one of them did too. Whenever I said that John 3:31 was spoken by Jesus, it's not spoken by John. Sometimes we need to be wrong. Sometimes we need to be told that we're wrong. It puts us back where we ought to be. So many times in our life, we find ourselves in the same place as this unit. We find ourselves reading the Bible, but not understanding what we're reading. He said, how can I understand it unless somebody explain it to me? Unless somebody expound on it to me? Unless somebody shows me. They went on their way as Philip preached Jesus to this man. And we want to end up in this particular verse right here, verse number 36. They went on their way and came unto certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. Now, they were in the desert. A lot of times we just read over this and that they were riding by and all of a sudden there's water. They were in the desert. And all of a sudden here's water. Do you think that water is there by accident? No. Whenever we need water in our life, God shows up. God shows out. He will put it exactly where we need it. He will put it exactly where we can find it. And He lays the stepping stones for us to step on if we will but listen to Him. If we will but follow Him. The problem is so many times we don't want to. He says, see, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? This morning, what's hindering you? I want to sit right here and roost a little while. What's hindering you? What's hindering you? As individuals, we go through a lot. We experience a lot that the world don't understand. that the rest of the church people don't understand. They don't see it. They don't hear it. They don't experience it. They don't even know oftentimes what is going on everywhere else but here. God does. God knows. What is hindering us, and we're going to take this in several different directions this morning. What is hindering us from growing as individuals in Christ? What is holding you back from reaching your full potential as a Christian? What is holding you back from witnessing to others? What is holding you back from praying for others? What is holding you back from being in Sunday school? Whatever it is, it ain't worth it. It ain't. There ain't a thing in this world worth giving up on God. There ain't a thing in this world missing out on God. Nothing. If you're late, so what? Show up. If you're in your pajamas, so what? Show up. I didn't get amen on that one. We miss the point so many times in that we have to be perfect to show up to church. You have to be not perfect to show up to church. You have to be not perfect to show up to church. Don't be perfect. Show up. Come as you are. Don't be perfect to witness to others. Anybody ever had a know-it-all tell you everything and how to do something? We've all had them people in our life. They knew everything about everything, and everything that they didn't know was wrong. And it's hard to take instructions from those type of people. It's hard to be taught from those type of people because they know everything and they can never be wrong. Whenever we realize that we don't know everything, that's to the point that we can learn something. God can only fill us to the point that He has emptied us. And if we are full of knowledge and pride and everything else, then God can't pour into us anymore. God can't fill us anymore. God can't use us anymore if we already know it all. Sunday school is not just for kids. You may graduate high school, but you never graduate Sunday school. Ever. What is hindering you from being in Sunday school? What is hindering you from being here on Wednesday nights? From gathering with a body somewhere for those of you who are visiting? What is hindering you from gathering with a body of believers somewhere? Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, somewhere in between. There's revivals going on everywhere. What is hindering us from gathering with bodies of believers? And we can make excuses. I can write them down. I mean, a bunch of them. It can be work. It can be kids. It can be the weather. It can be I have a sore foot. It can be anything. And we'll come up with excuses. And there's a song about that. It's called Excuses. Excuses, excuses. We use them every day. And the devil, he'll supply them if from church we'll stay away. When people come to know the Lord, the devil always loses. So to keep them people out of church, he offers them excuses. And if you think real hard, there's a reason that you could have made up for you not to be here today. Everybody had a reason not to be here. I have a sick kid at home. I could have stayed home. Wasn't no point. Can't two people doctor on him. You could have stayed home. You didn't want to come to church this morning. You could have went. It's kind of pretty outside. You could have went fishing. You could have went and played golf. You could have slept in after a long, hard week. But the thing about serving God is that it is not convenient. This angel told Philip, he said, get up from where you're at. Get up from where you're comfortable and journey into the desert. Now, we don't know how long he journeyed, and we don't know how long that he slept out there, that he had to eat out there, that he was hungry out there, that he was inconvenienced in the desert. But when God told him to get up and get out, nothing hindered him. You want to miss a blessing? Let something hinder you from the work of God. You want to miss a blessing? Let something stand between you and God. Let something stand between you and your family getting to church. Let something stand between you and prayer. You let something stand between you. Talk about missing out on a blessing. If we're not very careful, we'll allow things to hinder the way that we listen, the way that we read, the way that we serve God. There's some of you that every time I move, y'all hear that creak? Every time I move, that's exactly what your mind goes to is somebody should have put a screw in that. And we miss out on it. Or you'll notice that we have another blown light bulb in the back. After we did get the one in the front changed, thank you whoever did that. You'll start looking around and you'll find things to distract you from God's word. You'll find things to distract you from God convicting you. You'll find things to distract you from the Holy Spirit that's trying to speak to you this morning. And you'll look around and you'll say, well, I can't believe she's wearing that. Well, I can't believe they're letting them kids do that. Well, I can't believe this. I can't believe that. And you're doing everything except meditating on the Word of God. You're doing everything except listening to the Word of God. You're doing everything except keeping our eyes and ears on God. And the devil wins. Sunday night, or Wednesday night, I don't even remember, made a statement, and Brother Robbie, he wasn't here. He didn't hear me say it, but he made the same statement Sunday school this morning. He said, at no point did the devil ever make me do it. If you're a saved, born-again believer, the devil cannot make you not follow God. The devil cannot make you stay home. The devil cannot make you not pray. The devil cannot make you not read. The devil cannot make you not gather with believers. All he has to do is influence you just a little bit. All he has to do is influence you just a little bit. He can poke and he can prod and he can get you uncomfortable and he can knock you off balance. And all of a sudden, what is hindering you from living for God? It ain't worth it. This man asked Philip. He said, what hinders me from being baptized? This morning, what is hindering you from being baptized? I know some of you have been baptized before. And you still may not be right with God. You know baptism don't get you to heaven? It don't. They don't get you to heaven at all. None. Zero. Being baptized does not save you at all. This man asked Philip, he said, what doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip answered and said, if thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest. And he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. This morning, if you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and you've never been baptized into a body of believers, you have no idea what you're missing. You don't understand it. It's being invested. It's being a part of something. We all understand the way that teams work. And whenever you're on a basketball team, as long as you're on a team and as long as you're in that jersey, you can be put into the game to affect the outcome. As long as you are on that team and part of that team, you can be put into the game to affect what goes on and what happens. You can affect everything. But if you take off that jersey and go sit in the stands, you know how much difference you can make in that game? Zero. Absolutely none. If you decide not to be a part of the body of Christ, if you decide not to live for God, if you decide not to attend church, if you decide not to pray and not to read, you are taking off your jersey and you're putting it in and going to sit in the stands. And you can influence this world absolutely zero for God if you refuse to be a part of His team. If you refuse to be invested. If you refuse His call. This morning you can be saved and live your whole life saved. But if you never go beyond that, all you did was miss hell. That's it. All you did was miss hell. Now, those of you who've been saved longer than me, you can probably attest to this. Missing hell is only a part of being saved. Hey, it's a big part. Missing hell is only a part of being saved. Everything else that happens after. Being able to praise and worship God the way that we do. Being able to read and study His Word the way that we do. Being able to help and influence others the way that we do. That is the big part. That is the blessing. That is the commitment. That is what happens after. Missing hell is a byproduct. Missing hell is hallelujah, but we have work to do. But if we refuse to follow God, if you refuse to join a church, if you refuse to be baptized, if you refuse to put on that jersey every day and live for God, I'm going to go a little further. If you refuse to gather with believers, if you refuse to read your Bible somewhere other than church, if you refuse to pray other than sitting down for lunch or dinner, if you refuse to witness Jesus Christ toward others, then all you've done is miss hell. And that's a pitiful life. It's better than, you know, dying and going to hell. But just being saved, that's a terrible way to live. If all you've done is believe in Jesus, and you stop right there, what's the point of the rest of it? What's the purpose? What's the meaning of life? Ain't that what they always ask? What is the meaning of life? And I have a problem with Calvinists, and I asked them all this. I'm glad you brought that up this morning. I asked them all. Calvinists believe that some people can be saved and some people can't. That everybody's been predestined. And I don't believe that. My Bible don't say that. Our God wouldn't dare do that. He's a just God. And a just God don't pick and choose some over the others. A just God said, whosoever will. That includes every single one of us. But I asked the Calvinists, I said, well, what about your kids? How do you know they're chosen? Oh, my kids are chosen. Ain't it funny how those that believe in predestination and those that believe that God selects a few, that their family are always the ones that selected? Always. It's their family that is selected. Well, what about everybody else? They said, well, I don't know about everybody else. Well, how do you know about your kids? Because my God that I serve would not. He wouldn't pick and choose some and the others. He offered His Son. His Son shed His blood as a sacrifice for our sins, so that whosoever believeth in Him, whosoever is anybody, shall not perish but have. Here's something else that a lot of people believe, that you can lose your salvation. That verse blows it wide open. Shall have everlasting life. So no man shall pluck them out of my Father's hand. None. Zero. Salvation is forever. But if you stop with salvation, then you have flatlined. If you stop with salvation, if you do not serve, if you do not worship, then you are missing opportunities. Opportunities that may not always have been there. In Numbers chapter number 14, the children of Israel came up to the promised land. They came up to a land flowing with milk and honey. You think about it as paradise. And they came up to paradise and they sent these men in to scope it out. What's it look like? Now, God told them, I believe that they were wrong in sending men in to scope it out. But God told them, they said, all this is yours. All this I'm going to give to you. All this I'm going to bless you with because you are my people. So they sent men in to scope it out. And they said, ooh, you ought to see this. This is awful. This is horrible. This is terrible. We can't do it. Save two men came back and said, let's go in and possess the land. So the Israelites came to Moses and they said, we're not going to do it. We're not going to go in. We're not going to go in and be slaughtered by these giants and be killed by them. And in Numbers chapter 14, verse number 40, they rose up early in the morning and got into the top of the mountain and said, lo, we be here.
and we'll go up, Lord, we have changed our mind. God, I know that I've lived all of my life serving everything else in this world, but now I want to serve you. Now is the time to serve God. Now is the time to be a part of a church. Not just a part of the church, but to be an active part of the church. Now is the time. Not yesterday, not tomorrow, today. Now is the time to be an active part of the church. Because the children of Israel came and said, God, we are here, let's go. To the place that the Lord has promised. To Moses said, where now, or wherefore now do ye transgress the commandment of the Lord? But it shall not prosper. He said, you were told to go and you refused. He said, you can't go now. You would talk about missing out on opportunities. You refuse to live for God and see how long he allows you to live in rebellion. See how long he blesses you in rebellion. If we refuse to live for him. The children of Israel went into the land. Verse 44 said they presumed to go up. And the Amalekites came down and the Canaanites which dwell in that hill and smote them and discomfited them. The enemy destroyed them because God was not with them. God said, go. God said, live for me. God said, serve me. God said, go into the land and you got it. I'm going to give it to you. And they waited too late. This morning, if you wait too late to serve God, your family will suffer. Because everybody in Israel, except for Joshua and Caleb from 20 years and older, died in the wilderness. You believe what your decisions don't have an impact on your family? You hide and watch. You believe that your poor decisions not to attend church, not to read your Bible, not to pray with your kids, not to pray for your kids, you believe those won't affect them? Hide and watch. Talk to some people that it already has affected. These grown men's decisions affected everyone. Women, children, over 20, everybody. They all died in the wilderness, except for the youngins. And God said, I'll use them. God said, I'll use them if they don't rebel against me, if they but obey me. What is hindering you this morning? There's nothing in this world that you can hold on to. There's nothing that you can put between you and God that makes it okay. I read a quote on Facebook a day or two ago, and I think somebody here may have shared it. They said the most influential person in your life can be that person that you never forgive. I thought that was profound. I thought that was great. Because it's true. You want to let something stand between you and God? Pick on the little things and don't let them go. Find something that you can just poke at. In someone's life. Find something that you can pick out that is wrong with them that you don't like. It don't matter if it's biblical. It don't matter if it's even wrong. Just find something that'll put a wedge between you and them. Find something that'll put a wedge in your mind between you and God. Find something that will hinder your walk with God, and the devil has won in your life. He can't control you, but he can influence you. And he does. James said, resist Satan. Resist the devil and he will flee from us. The problem is we have too much of a problem resisting each other to resist the devil. We fight each other. We don't resist him. We fight the world and we don't fight him. We're too busy filling up on everything else instead of filling up on God. We're too busy focusing on everything and everybody else instead of focusing on God. Don't miss that. Don't miss it. Could be the greatest part of your life ever. Don't miss it. Man asked Philip, what hinders you? What's stopping you from being baptized? What is stopping you this morning? And y'all don't understand. Some of you may. I don't understand how much I love y'all sometimes. A lot of times, and I didn't understand it as a kid growing up, and I never saw how much my pastor cared for me. I never understood that. I never understood how much other preachers cared. It just never made sense. But as Philip was sent to the desert, he was sent to the desert for a reason. He was sent for a purpose.
And it was for this one person. And I believe with all of my heart that God sent me here to Harmony for this church. And y'all, I love you. But if we can't get rid of all this hindrance, if we can't let go and let God, if we can't answer the question that Philip did. The man said, "What hinders me? What is keeping me?" Philip said, "Nothing but believing. That's it." You know what's keeping us from growing, church? Hindrance is standing between us and others, between us and God. You know what's keeping us from growing? Not believing. You know why we don't believe? We're too busy. Focused on everybody else. Focused on everything else. Philip said, focus on God. This morning, if you're here and you're unsaved, Philip was asked, he said, "What hinders me from being baptized?" And he said, "If you'll believe with your whole heart, you will." This morning, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, because I believe that a lot of people that sit in Baptist churches and think that they're saved, I believe that some of them aren't by the fruit that they bear. But anyway, we're going to get past that. This morning, if you know absolutely 100% without a shadow of a doubt that you are saved, thank God. If there's this much doubt, I mean this much doubt, if there's this much doubt in your heart, listen very, very carefully to what I'm saying. This much doubt will send you to hell if you're not actually saved. This much doubt will send you to hell if you do not believe in Jesus Christ, your Savior, now. This much, just a wiggle. There's nothing worse than being close to being saved and dying and going to hell. But Robbie said in the Sunday school lesson this morning that hell is a real place. And it is. Jesus said in Matthew, he said, "The worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched." 10 years ago, I bought a flamethrower. They had just come out. They were neat. Oh my, I ain't seen, never seen nothing like it. You put your diesel fuel in the top of it. You put a little Zippo lighter in the front of it. You push the trigger and this pump shoots the diesel fuel out. So I went and bought me one. I said, "Oh, this is neat." And you pull the trigger, and as the diesel fuel catches fire, the heat kind of radiates backwards as well as forward. So as the diesel fuel went forward, the heat came backwards and kind of singed me just a little bit. It wasn't quite safe, and I sold it not 2 weeks later, because I did kill all the grass in my mama's yard, because all the diesel didn't burn up and it just killed everything. It was hot. It was some kind of hot, and I wasn't even facing it. I wasn't even pointing toward it. Yet it has nothing on what hell's going to be like. Has absolutely nothing. And if you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ, your Savior, I want your attention for 2 minutes, and then you can go back to whatever it was you was doing. 2 minutes. First thing I want you to know is that hell is real. I believe that that has been established. And if the Holy Spirit is dealing with you this morning, I believe that that has been established to you as an individual. Second thing I want to make known to you is the same thing that Philip said to this man. He said that if thou believe with all thine heart, with all your heart means that nothing can stand between you and God. Absolutely nothing. I have a minute and 30 seconds left. Nothing can stand between you and God. Absolutely nothing. It can't be people. It can't be things. It can't be anything standing between you and God. And if you believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, that He came and died for your sins because you couldn't do nothing about it. You couldn't do nothing with them. So Jesus came and took care of it. He wiped the slate clean. And He said, "If you'll believe in me, thou shalt have eternal life." 60 seconds. Whatever is standing between you and God is going to send you to hell, and you're going to regret it for the rest of your life. Whatever is standing between you and Christ will send you to hell, and you'll regret it for all eternity. Not just the rest of your life. Forever and ever and ever and ever. And if you're already on the church roll, it don't matter. That's not salvation. Salvation is Jesus Christ. If you've already been baptized, that don't matter. Salvation is Jesus Christ. If your mama or daddy or preacher told you that you're okay, that don't matter. Salvation is Jesus Christ, and in Jesus Christ alone. That is it. That is done. Believe in Him and be saved. That is my 60 seconds. You can go back to whatever it was you was doing. Believe in Jesus. There's nothing worth going to hell over. As a saved person, there's nothing worth losing your life over. There's nothing worth wasting your life over. Nothing. Last Wednesday night, Miss Dana, she brought cream puffs to church. Some of you were there. They saved me a half a box as we were patching a hole back here for the fire marshal to come. They saved me a half a box of them, and they must have been a dozen and a half cream puffs in there. And we just sat there talking and chit-chatting about this, that, and the other. I ended up eating the whole box, and I love cream puffs. They're my favorite thing. I ate the whole box. I knew that I wanted them, and I enjoyed them. I enjoyed every savory bite. Absolutely love them. Ended up with a bellyache like you wouldn't believe. We can enjoy the things of this life for now. We can enjoy going fishing. We can enjoy going hunting. But if we miss out on all the things of God, then we've missed out on everything, no matter how much we enjoy it. If you miss out on the things of God, you've missed everything. This morning, if you miss Jesus, you've missed everything. Nothing in this world is worth hindering your walk with God. Nothing in this world is worth hindering your salvation through Jesus. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Nothing is hindering you from being baptized except believing in Jesus. Nothing is hindering you from joining the church except believing in Jesus. Nothing is hindering you from living for God except believing in Jesus. Nothing is hindering you from standing up here and leading music or singing specials other than letting God lead you. Nothing is hindering you from living a life for God but you. You're the only one standing in your way. Whatever's between you and God, turn it loose. Cut it out. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. You know everything what we did yesterday, we can't go back and change it. It's set in stone. It's done. It's history. We're moving on. Whatever you did this morning before you got to church, it's done. It's over. It's finished. We're moving on. The only thing that we can change, the only thing that we have even the slightest little bit of control over is from right now forward. And I pray that as a church that we can live for God. That as individuals, we can live for God. That as families, we can live for God because nothing else matters. Except from right now forward.